my peeps. Welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It, the podcast that turns your midweek slump into a midweek slay. I'm Erin Deal, your work bestie, and this month we're jamming on all things effective communication. Why? Because words can build bridges or build walls, and the vibe you send with your words is everything. Today's guest is an awesome human on the planet. Natalina Nesserdine. She is the founder and CEO of Rise Up For You, a two-time number one best-selling author, a two-time TEDx speaker, and a global leader who's helped over 100,000 people level up. She's been on stages with Tony Robbins, Adam Grant, and Les Brown, but today she's on our playground and we are going from broke to boss in real time. So grab your juice box, your water bottle, sit on the swings, and let's go. So here's the deal. Most of us are running at full speed at work. We're juggling deadlines. We're managing people. We're trying to sound confident on Zoom while our cat walks across the keyboard. But here's the plot twist. Hard skills only get you so far. Soft skills, or as Nada calls them, success skills, are what actually move you from survival mode to thriving mode. Now, Nada knows this firsthand. She built Rise Up For You, her company, with only $100 in sheer willpower, and she turned it into a global force. She's here today to show us how to shift our mindset and sharpen our communication so we can move from broke to boss energy in our careers and in our lives. So here's the deal. Research says up to 90% of long-term career success comes from soft skills like emotional intelligence, communication, and adaptability. Only 10% is technical. Translation, how you show up, how you talk, and how you listen matters way more than how fancy your Excel formulas are, okay? Nada's Rise Power Up Method breaks this down into bite-sized, doable shifts that make you unstoppable. Now, what you're going to hear today is the interview with Nada and myself. We were having a bit of technical difficulties, so if the audio sounds a little funky, sorry in advance. That's what we were working with here today. I want to let you know, too, before we hit record, Nada was like, hey, I get asked the same questions all the time. Can you ask me some different questions? And I was like, can I? Yes, I can. You came to the right place. So the questions today are a little funky, a little different, which I really loved and might add going forward with the show. So without further ado, let's get to today's playdate with Nada Nesserdine. Okay, welcome to the show, Nada. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
You look beautiful. We're so stoked to have you. We have a lot in common. We're talking about all the things. So this month on the show, we're talking about effective communication. I always love to just start off with an intention for you and I, or it could just be something you want to give our audience, something you want to receive. What's one word that comes up for you when we talk about effective communication?
The word that comes up for me often when it has to do with communication is influence.
Yes. The
ability to influence, because a lot of times we forget that every time we communicate, whether it's with our children, our spouse, team members, even us communicating now together, whether we recognize it or acknowledge it, we are trying to influence. It could be influencing our kids to go to bed. It could be influencing people to take action. But typically, there's something that we want at the end of our communication. And so for me, it's always about influence.
I love that. I love that. You know, I don't consider myself an influencer, but yesterday when I dropped my son off at school, one of the teachers was wearing a dress that I told her to get on Amazon. And I was like, wow, maybe I do have influence. You know, we really are. Every little conversation is influencing something.
100%.
I know. It's funny to witness. It's like we don't, and with this new concept of influencing, right? We were influencing before social media was actually a thing.
Yeah. And the truth is that everybody is influencing, but most of us aren't conscious to the fact that we're doing it. And so maybe our words, our actions, our intentions are in a silo. And the second you become awakened to the fact that everything you do, every person you touch, or that you are in the environment with, you are influencing even before you open your mouth. When you go to the grocery store, when you're pumping gas. And so I think that we're kind of entering, I hope, and I feel a world where we're starting to understand that our words and our actions matter, even if we don't consider ourselves a leader or an influence. It doesn't matter. It's bigger than you.
Okay. We are like so on the same page. I feel that is exactly one of the thesis statements in one of my talks. Your thoughts equal your words equals your actions. I freaking love it. And it's, if we all understood that, like imagine how different the world would be. So, okay. I want to talk to you because you love soft skills too, which, you know, is my heart and soul. And we have different vessels to train on them. But I want to say, you say soft skills are the new success skills, which I like. This is a fun question. We were talking earlier. I was like, what would make this the most fun for you? And you're like, fun question. So I got one. Okay. Pretend you're designing a deck of cards, right? And they're called success skills. What would one of the cards say? Like if you could come up with a deck of cards called success skills, what would one of the cards be?
What would one of the cards be? Like a saying on it or something of that sort?
Yep, like an affirmation or like, you know, I love Gabby Bernstein. She has this like oracle deck where you pull an affirmation. What would something like that be?
Well, the phrase that I always use that we have on some of our materials is the greatest tragedy is wasted human potential. Don't let that be your story. That'd probably be the first thing that I put.
Okay, let's say that again. Say it again for me. The greatest tragedy is?
The greatest tragedy is wasted human potential. Do not let that be your story.
Oh my God. It's so good. It's so freaking good. Okay. And will you tell me a little bit about that? Like, why is that on all of your material? Why do you believe that so much?
You know, I have to be honest with you. Ever since I was a young girl in high school and in middle school, I've always had this feeling that if I can do it, you can do it. That like we can all do it. And as I grew up, I realized that a lot of my friends, even when I was like in ninth grade and 10th grade, they didn't realize what they could achieve. And they would like, let's say, get an F in math. And I'd be like, but no, you can do it. And so I think over time, I really became obsessed with like, what does it mean to like become your best and push your potential and grow yourself? And then as I became more involved in performing, you know, I was a performer first. And then I went on to be an executive. Now, of course, I'm an entrepreneur. I noticed that the biggest challenge and the thing that really got in people's way is self-confidence, right? And so, and for me, that was always like a huge tragedy. And I didn't really know how many people suffered with the lack of self-confidence until I really started digging into research and becoming an entrepreneur. And so I just remember thinking like, what a tragedy. And then from that came the quote, the greatest tragedy. I believe the greatest tragedy today is people walking around that have so much potential, so many great things inside of them that don't feel enough. And so that's where the quote came from, that the greatest tragedy is wasted human potential. And I really encourage people to not let that story be theirs, because so many people leave this planet never reaching the place or the point that they wanted to reach.
Oh my God, I'm so here for this. Our missions are very similar because I like to say I help awaken people to their highest selves through play. Like, because you're a living testimony, what you're doing, the books you've written, the things you've built with your business, of what it is to really understand your purpose and be in alignment with the assignment. And show up, right? A lot of times it's just that easy, just showing up for the assignment if you're given it, right? I love that. I'm so glad I asked you that question. That is some powerful stuff. And I think about your work and I think about just how you're impacting people with mindset and how you're impacting people in all the different ways. So I want to talk about that because we're talking about turning your struggles into success and the mindset shifts. And that's like literally one of my favorite questions I've ever asked somebody with that. And that answer was so cool. I got another one. Okay. You ready for some more fun cues? Okay. So this is a Mad Lib. Okay. So when the workplace gets stressful, what is your go-to mindset shift? Is it something like blank because it makes me feel blank, right? Like is there some mindset shift when things get stressful? You say in your mind, you do blank because it makes you feel blank, or you might say blank because I feel better doing blank. Is there something that you say when you're struggling to get yourself back?
Yeah, I usually acknowledge the stress first because I'm a firm believer of like acknowledging how you feel and not ignoring it. And then I give myself some tough love. So I typically sound like this in my head. Okay, I understand you're stressed. There's a little bit of overwhelm, and get yourself together because there's a lot to be grateful for and we don't have time to waste. That's typically the conversation I have in my head.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, and you don't have time to waste, right? Like I think about that, and people who are intentional with their time just impact the world so differently. So I love that. I love that because your story is really cool. I've done my research on you. I love what you're doing. And I think that the high level overview of what you do when things get tough is so important for people to hear. So, okay. Here's another fun one. I just love that you were like, I want fun questions because I came with fun ones. All right. So if this is a lightning round, all right, I want you to give me, I'm going to give you a scenario, and then I want you to give me a boss, like a one-line boss move that you would say after this scenario. So like example could be like a teammate ghosted you at a meeting. What would you do? Okay. So let's try that one. Okay. So if a teammate ghosted you in a meeting, what would you say to that teammate? What would your mindset shift be? Or what would your like dialogue be to that teammate?
My dialogue to the teammate would be that ghosting and not communicating effectively is not a part of our company values. We don't practice that here at Rise It For You. And I would appreciate if we can all communicate more maturely. And if we can't, it's probably not a good fit for you to be here.
What? Dada, this is awesome. Okay, I got more. I got more like that. Like that just came naturally to her. This is improv at its finest. Okay. So let's say you get a client email at 4:55 on a Friday, and it feels like a little spicy. How would you respond? Would you respond? And what would you say?
I would do one of two things. I would either not respond because we actually have some pretty strong boundaries with our company that we don't work after 5 p.m. PST time because, you know, we're not curing cancer or anything of that sort. But if it was a spicy email that was, I could tell, more heated, I would probably respond Saturday morning and say something along the line of, thank you so much for your email. I appreciate it. The team and I will discuss this internally and we'll get back to you when the work week starts on Monday or Tuesday.
Love it. Love it. Let me ask you this too. I love that you mentioned you have boundaries. What happens if somebody emails past 5 p.m.?
We typically don't respond. Again, and it depends on, okay, so if we're doing it internally with the team, okay?
Yeah.
So if an email is going back and forth internally, every team member has the right not to respond. So I typically don't email after 5 p.m. because I'm the owner of the company and I set the model and the expectation. Or sometimes I respond or I work on the weekend, but my team is very clear that like, I don't need you to respond right now, but this is just me like being creative on the weekend, okay? But most of the team members don't respond. I have taught them that even if I send them a text message, they don't have to respond and then they'll respond the next day, which is fine. So they don't feel stress or pressure to do that. That's the first thing. Yeah. If it's from an external, like a client, again, it depends. Like, is this hair on fire? Something happened. There's an HR situation. Like, I'll give you an example. We had a client text me at 4:30 in the morning, but it was like hair on fire and they were under attack in regards to something with cybersecurity and they needed guidance. They needed support. We don't do cybersecurity, but they just needed some resources. Like, obviously, I'm going to respond because they're our partner and we care about them and we want them to be successful. But typically, we just wait until 9 a.m. PST time or, you know, the following morning, you know, 9 to 5.
Love it. I love this so much. Just taking a quick break, my peeps, because this episode of Workday Playdate is brought to you by Improve It's very own Effective Communication Workshop. Improve It is an improv-infused talent development company for the new generation of work. And this workshop is where high energy improv meets real workplace results. So whether you've got 100 people in a room or in person or 50 faces on Zoom, our facilitators will teach your team how to use verbal and nonverbal techniques to elevate their communication, create inclusive and supportive environments, build rapport by listening to understand instead of listening to respond, and foster trust through the improv tenet of yes and. You can learn more and book time to chat with us at learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com, and see how what you say and what you don't say affects how others listen and respond. Let's get back to our show. You don't hear me say this in the introduction, so because I record that separately for everybody logistically listening, but you really built this business, Rise Up For You, with literally $100 and your willpower, and then you turned it into a global force. So how many people do you have working with you at Rise Up For You now?
So currently right now, we have about 20 people. I would say a little over half of them are on the learning and development side, so like the coaching and the training. And then the rest of the team members, we would consider core team. So, you know, marketing, technology, a fractional CFO, executive assistant, vice president, that sort.
I love it. I love it. And you are literally here. So your mission truly is you went with $100, right? And then you've built this business from the ground up, and you are here showing people how to use your mindset, sharpening the communication. So you, if somebody is listening, can go from that broke energy to this boss energy in your life, in your career, which I feel from you. Like, this is one of my favorite things, Donna, is like hearing bosses just boss up. You know what I mean? Like, you're just crushing it. So, okay, I got more fun questions. Can I ask you more fun questions? This is literally making this play date fun for me. So thank you. Okay, so I did know that you taught soft skills to kids in juvenile detention centers, right?
Yep.
Okay, tell me a little bit about that. And then here's the other side of that question. If they gave you like a badge, like a name tag, what would it say? What would the kid's name for you be? Like, what would your badge say?
That's a good question. The badge would probably have the words confidence and goddess. Like, I imagine like warrior goddess or something, you know, like
yes,
confident warrior goddess. Because I do feel... I think it's really important to always cultivate self-confidence with humility, of course, but you know, I'm my number one cheerleader and I have to be, and everybody should be their number one cheerleader. So like, I'm proud that I have self-confidence and I'm proud that my parents taught me that. My parents taught me to have self-confidence. So definitely self-confidence. And then there are times where I feel, I don't know if it was from a past life or multiple past lives, but there's times where I feel like I have this energy internally of a warrior, but a feminine warrior, right? So like more of a goddess versus like more masculine, but I feel like there's this warrior side of me, but that has like a feminine element and touch to it. So I think that's what I would be called. In regards to the kids, I have a very soft spot for youth. A lot of work that we do is because of youth. Before I built the business, I spent a lot of time in education. And I mean, there were many nights when I would cry and go home and cry because of how adults treated kids. And that's one of the reasons why when I built the company, you know, it was important for me to start with the adults and, you know, both individuals and corporations, right? So we have both divisions because it's so, this is what we talked about earlier about influence. People don't recognize or realize how much they impact the next generation. When I was an educator, I saw a multitude of teachers that would crap on their students because they got bitter, right? And they were in education for a long time. And at some point they stopped caring. You know, the majority of my students, and I wasn't in a low economic district, but the majority of my students were at risk, even the ones that were affluent that came from wealthy families. There was either sexual abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, trafficked. You know, one parent was gone. Just so much turmoil that 90% of my students that were young were struggling. And like, how do you expect them to get good grades and to be a great student when every day they struggle? And so there were many nights when I would go home crying. And because I had a white picket fence family, my family was not wealthy by any means, but the parenting was at the highest level. I mean, there were times where our family was broke and there were times where our family had wealth. And no matter if we were at our lowest or at our highest, my parents were always the same. Even when we lived in a, you know, three-story house with a jacuzzi and a pool, my dad would wake us up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be like, get your butt up and go outside and do chores. When we had nothing, same thing. And so we really learned some pretty amazing life skills from our parents. And I thought that everybody had them. And then as I got older and as I went into education, I realized that that's just not the case. And I find it to be super, super sad. And so, you know, that's why we've done a lot of work with youth, underprivileged youth. I've been in jails all over the world. Even before I started the company Rise Up For You, I've been a part of organizations that have gone into jails and worked with kids. And for me, it was always like the best part of the day.
Oh, you, the world needs you, Nada. Like, truly, Rise Up For Youth. Okay, just going to put that out there. heard that loud and clear. But truly, I love that you're passionate about it. I have a six-year-old son, and obviously he's not, you know, in high school or any, he's not had the time to get in trouble yet. As a parent, it's like my biggest mission is to make sure I'm a present mom who instills good values and instills love and compassion and kindness. And I know it's not the case. I'm also blessed. I come from really good parents. Really good parents. And obviously, every parent is flawed in some way, shape, or form. We do the best with what we can and what we have. But the fact that you're shedding light on these youth and that you're a warrior goddess to them is like huge. Okay. You're forever a warrior goddess now in my mind. So, all right, let's talk about this. You know, this is called Workday Playdate. We're at the playground. We have this slide, it's the communication slide that everybody goes down once. What's that? Okay, so the communication slide, everybody needs to know how to communicate well. Let's say there's a swing set over there and everybody who plays in the playground has to go down the slide and they have to go down the swing set. What's the swing they should never skip? What's the thing on the swing that they should never skip when it comes to soft skills?
Emotional intelligence.
Okay, tell me more. Thank you for letting me ask fun questions, by the way. This is so fun for me to ask these fun questions. So why emotional intelligence?
Because emotional all of our communication is pretty much dictated by our beliefs or the beliefs that we think are happening with the person across from us, right? So I think that it's really important that when you're communicating, you understand, like, what are the thoughts that are going on in my head? And am I communicating from a place of insecurity and self-doubt and ego and stress? And also, what are the things that I think are going on across from me? And am I communicating from a place of assumption? Okay, so that's one thing. And emotional intelligence teaches us all that. Because emotional intelligence is about self-awareness, being able to manage yourself, social awareness, so like understand what's happening socially, and relationship management, so building relationships in the process. One of the other mistakes that we make is that typically we communicate in our preferred language or style, right? So like, let's say if somebody's more assertive and cutthroat, that's how they communicate with everybody. And emotional intelligence teaches us to have a whole toolbox of different styles that you can modify depending on who's in front of you. And so I think in regards to communication, all of those elements are really, really critical.
I agree. Oh, it's like, and it comes back to your intention of influence, right? Like, you're really influencing somebody when you understand how they communicate and how they want to be communicated with. It's like the love languages, all of the above, literally. You know, I love it. I love it. See, these questions bring us to these nuggets of like, amazing soft skill truths, and you and I could jam out on soft skills, I feel like, all day long. Okay, so I got one more fun question. Anything else you want to say about that? Because I have two more fun questions that I want to ask you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I really feel the last few years we've done an injustice by using terminology like just be yourself or be authentic, because the worst thing you can do when you're communicating is say like, well, I'm just being honest. Because the reality is that your communication is not effective when you think that way. There's a way to be honest and authentic and assertive and still emotionally intelligent at the same time so that it's a win-win situation.
I love it. We always say at Improve It, this is a cheesy quote, but we're kind of cheesy. Pretend that everybody has a sign around your neck that says, make me feel important. And I feel like that's really what you're doing is it's really, if I'm being honest, I'm projecting some, probably some not kind things if I'm working with ego to you. How can I make you feel good? How can I make you feel seen, heard, and valued? I love that.
Yeah. And again, it comes back down to influence. So when you say things like, hey, I'm just being honest, the reality is that the person across from you probably didn't receive what you just said. So then like the intent of what you were trying to say, if you were trying to make movement or trying to make a positive impact, it probably didn't land because people are going to receive it in a toxic and a hurtful way. So you basically just shut down the psychological safety of the person across from you. So the big question when it comes to influence and emotional intelligence is, how do I communicate in a way that's effective, that's authentic, that's clear and assertive, but is still very much warm and safe for the person across from me so that we can continue a dialogue versus me shutting it down?
Yeah. Okay. Spoken like a true warrior goddess. And also we call that yes and an improv, as you know, if you're a performer.
Yes and. Yeah.
I love it so much. I love it. Okay. Here's another fun one. You're packing a boss bag. Okay. Cause like you truly are a boss. I'm just telling you that word is kind of like dated now, but whatever you are. Okay. And you're packing a boss bag for a new leader. They're stepping into their very first big role. What three mindset or what three communication items must go in the bag? Like you have to put three things in this boss bag for the new leader. It could be mindset, it could be communication tips. What are the three things?
Okay, I'd probably put books. So the first thing I would put is a book by Eckhart Tolle called The New Earth, because it talks about breaking ego. And I really believe that as a leader, you have to learn how to put your ego aside and to use it wisely. I'm not saying ego is bad. I think ego comes into great need when like you're in sales and you're trying to dominate and compete and land and close the deal. Like there's places to have ego, right? And to be hungry. But when it comes to leading your team, that book is a great one just to really, you know, put us into perspective. I would put a daily or a weekly planner, because I think as a leader, oftentimes people can make excuses that they don't have time to coach and mentor because they just don't have the time to deal with their people. And that's one of the biggest challenges we see with leaders is they're not really leading. And being a great leader means that you have to coach, you have to mentor, you have to spend time with your team. So I would probably put a calendar in there. I have a calendar that I use where that can help them optimize their time. And then the first thing, the third thing I would put in there is a book on self-confidence. And I would probably put our self-confidence book, How to Overcome the I'm Not Enough Mindset, so that as a leader, you can continuously remember to communicate in a way that is effective both for you and the person. And I always say that confidence impacts your ability to communicate. So if your self-confidence is hindered, you're more than likely going to show up that way as a leader.
Yes. Oh my God. This is like gold, man. I'm not even joking. I love these questions. You're just like knocking it out of the park. I also wrote myself a note. I haven't read that book, actually, A New Earth, but I'm going to get it. And everybody should get a copy of your book, which we will put in the show notes. Do you have a planner that you have created, or do you have a planner you really like?
We have two. We actually have, we call it a Rise It For You journal. It's a 90-day success journal. It's only 90 days. And it's focused on, you know, it's your daily planner, but it's focused on the six pillars to success that we believe are for success. So because we're all about creating whole leaders, it's not about just your career. It's also about your relationships, your romance, your health, your fitness. So we have that. But and in regards to a daily planner, I have a daily planner. It's not on my desk right now. I left it in the room, but it's basically, you know, like the manifestation journals that they have that you can put your daily task. I use it every single week. I was just writing in it last night. By the time, like by the hour, 9 o'clock, I do this, 10 o'clock, I do this, 11 o'clock, I record a podcast. Then I put my 3 to 5 signal items for the day. So like, what are the 3 to 5 things I want to get done today? And every single day I use it.
So good. So good. I love it. I love that breakdown too, because it really helps you stay focused. It helps you with influence, right? You know what you're influencing. So that was like such a gold question. My final question, well, second to final question. If you could leave a voicemail for yourself or like a voice note, I'm a big voice note person, from yourself, if 2025 you could leave a voice note for 2030 you, so 5 years from now, what would you tell your future self about staying bold as a boss like you are? What would you tell your future self?
My future self, my voicemail would probably sound something like this. I'm very proud of you. You have lived a great life. You were a great person. You did great things. You kept kindness to the forefront. And most importantly, you kept the legacy of your parents alive. You know, your parents, our parents left the best of them with us, with me. And you are enough and everything you need is inside of you. And that's exactly what Dad said. That's what my dad said when he, you know, when he passed away, is everything you have is already inside of you.
I'm going to cry. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I fake eyelashes on so they will be gone. I freaking love that, Nada. That is beautiful. And you can see that in you. You can see that in you. And I'm so grateful. This was so fun to ask you fun. When you literally were like, I want fun questions, I came prepared. Like, you didn't tell me that. I just came prepared today. And we got the best answers. And I want to finally ask you this question. This is Workday Playdate. It feels like a playdate. I've had the best time. How are you going to make your day more playful today?
How am I going to make my day more playful today? That's a good question. Play with my dogs. I have a puppy. I have a 3-year-old dog and I have a puppy that's like 4.5 months. So definitely playing with them. I love to listen to podcasts. Podcasts are a lot of fun for me. So.
I love it. Okay. Wait, what kind of dog is your puppy?
Both of them are multi-poos.
Oh, I have a toy poodle. I love them. Poos. Yeah. Poos are great. Any type of poo.
And their names are Jebel and Shumps. Jebel means mountain in Arabic and Shumps means the sun in Arabic. So mountain and sun.
Love it. Okay. Well, put on a fun podcast. Go play with the pups. And it has been so fun having you here. Thank you so much for playing with me, for bringing your energy, your wisdom, and make sure everybody knows where they can find you. So where can they find you? Where can they grab your book? So
absolutely. Thank you. You can go to riseupforyou.com. That's the website for the company. And if you go to the top, it has a button that says free resources. We have free self-confidence quizzes, free emotional intelligence quizzes. We have free masterclasses there as well. And we're all over social media at Rise Up For You. So YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can also follow me personally and connect with me, Nettalina Nasruddin. I do my own social media. So if you send me a message, I will respond. And then our books are all over Amazon. I mean, you can also get them from riseupforyou.com, but they're on Amazon. They're everywhere. So you can grab them there as well.
I love it. All right, Nada. Thank you so much for being here and playing with me today. Everybody check out all of her stuff. We'll add it to the show notes and we'll play again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, Nada, you just dropped so many mic drop moments. Like, my mic fell on the floor. Okay. And it gave us the courage to think bigger. I want to thank you so much for coming to the playground today. My peeps, if you loved this conversation, go grab Nada's new book, Emotional Intelligence, The Path to Fulfillment, Influence, and Greater Success. And if you are ready to bring these ideas to your team, you can check out our effective communication workshop. And the link to all things is in the show notes. So until next time, I want to give you this affirmation to hold you over. I communicate with clarity, I lead with empathy, and I turn every challenge into a playground for growth. I said growth. There's some growth for myself today. I communicate with clarity, I lead with empathy, and I turn every challenge into a playground for growth. All right, my peeps, keep playing at work, keep leading with empathy, and keep turning your struggles into success. I'm Erin Deal. Thanks for playing.